Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Do something different for once.
I don't know. This is a little different. This, to me, recalls, do you remember about 5 years ago there was the celebrity diving show?
Oh, I remember that.
And Louis Anderson was on it, and all of his dives looked like the mob was disposing of a body. But I thought that it would be really great if Louis Anderson could do the slip, because he could probably build up some
celebrity
speed.
Here I go. If I had a daughter and she was dating a celebrity, I kid you not, there'd be a lot of secret high fives with her mother. Because we're like, maybe he can take care of her now.
I think she's...
Could this be any luckier?
Just trying to mess with him. And Paul is just sunglasses on, straight faced, nothing. They get up to green and VJ kind of sidles up and then says, hey, Joe, why are you messing with my guy like that? You know he can't talk. And Joe doesn't even turn around and look. But he says, VJ, if you don't get away from me right now, I'm going to drop you right here on the first green at Augusta National.
Oh, God!
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Jesus, have we been entertaining this week.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, we should have taken today off.
We should have. We deserved
it. It's not too late.
Even Oscar yesterday. I was thinking about that. Oscar retreads this thing on the bonus show. You got to listen to the whole bonus show this week.
Yep.
Okay? Make sure you listen to the whole.
It's
Oscar
a ride.
Oscar will end the week with something you will, I believe, carry with you into the weekend.
The rest of your life.
It's haunted me. Super fun. We are going to have our sweet little mom stories, and they can be. I told the guys just come armed with a mom story.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's going to be a heart tugger. You like that type of thing? People right now, there are soulless monsters in our listening audience that heard me say that. They're now going, oh, God. F you. All right? I know what you're saying. But they can be any way you want them. Because it's Mother's Day weekend, the manufactured holiday, celebrating mothers. But before we do that, we've got a very special guest. Wow, is that a room?
Isn't it? Setup. Looks like the Addams Family.
Holy moly, look at that. That'd be like your dream room, Rob, if you had space.
Mike, it is kind of like I'm wondering why he's in my basement.
But you don't have a chair and room in there. You just got like stacks of hoarded
stacks of wax.
Crap.
It's not crap. How dare you?
P1 John Wood is a Sacramento native and still lives there to this day. He has been a fan of the show since the turn of the century, dating back to the terrestrial days on KHTK. He has listened to the Mike O'Mara podcast for over 5 years and prefers this iteration of the program because it feels open, free, and without limits. Well, financial limits. Anyway, he is single and petless. That's good.
Petless.
If you're a single dude and you don't have, you have a cat.
People wonder, sorry,
I just offended a bunch of people. I didn't mean to do that.
No, it's early. Dudes with cats
but he's
are creepy.
Happy nonetheless. John Wood is currently an on-course commentator and on-air talent for NBC Sports Golf Channel. After 24 years of caddying on the PGA Tour. I know this dude. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I should read these ahead of time. I'd look forward to it more.
I like to surprise you. The element of surprise is part of the talking head.
24 years of caddying on the PGA Tour. Rob, you've just like given me a gift today.
Oh, I know. Oh, I've been very excited about this.
24 years. I know John the cat. Jeez. Give me a heads up next time.
Oh, you don't enjoy the surprise on this? I thought you'd love this.
I do. God, you've caddied for Matt Kuchar, Hunter Mahan, Mark Calcavecchia, Kevin Sutherland. He joined NBC and the Golf Channel in 2020. You're brand new.
Yeah.
You're a new guy, and you're we'll get to it. Jeez. This is the first job in his life, he's 51, in which he has had to wear long pants. Oh, I got so many questions. Caddying highlights include 10 PGA Tour wins. This is rarefied air here. 7 Ryder Cups, 7 President's Cups, and caddying Matt Kuchar to a bronze medal in the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio, where every PGA player that did not play in the Olympics regretted not playing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
When he's not working, John enjoys writing and playing his own music, watching the San Francisco Giants, coffee, and above all, he enjoys visiting Yellowstone. Oh, great! And watching the wolf packs. Oh, my God, that's great. He is fully vaccinated. Not the wolf. Is that a sports team, the wolf packs, or watching the wolves in Yellowstone? We'll ask you that, John. He's fully vaccinated. That's good, because we're so close here. He loves Mike's voices, especially Al Pacino. Oh, my God. It just gets better and better. Al Pacino's always one I've been a little insecure about. Charlie and the From Boston shtick. John is one of the three politically liberal people working in the world of golf. Yeah. I'm switching joints. And, you know, buddy of mine says, well, just don't bring up what you like down there. Thank you. Appreciate that, Al. And now here's John Wood. John Wood, nice to have you with us, and an honor to have you with us. And congratulations on your life. New world. This is so very cool. I'm going to kiss your ass no matter what you say from this point on.
An honor to be on this show. I can't even tell you. I'm like, you know, remember that first Matt Foley sketch when he's down in the basement drinking coffee for 4 or 5 hours? That's me right now. So
it's
I'm
so
already.
Very cool.
Mike, I got to
so
say
cool.
that actually a friend of John's reached out and helped us make the connection. So we do have to give her credit. What's her name? She said that you
Megan
were a big
McGuire.
Fan.
She's Megan McGuire.
She's serving as his agent, or I think the word pimp might have come up. But she said that he was a big fan. And I said, oh, my God, he'd be a perfect talking head. So
I could seriously do the 90 minutes talking to you just on being a caddy on the PGA Tour alone. I mean, one of the publications in that I read, Golf Digest, I think it's Golf Digest, it's either Golf or Golf Digest, has the Secret Caddy article that I think is my favorite read every single month in golf, where they talk about, you know, all the ins and outs of the PGA Tour and making the flip, making the transition to the broadcast booth and on-course reporting. That is no small deal. That is, it's a world that is very, very, a lot of people have tried it. A lot of people have gotten out of it after a short time. How are you enjoying broadcasting on the PGA Tour? It's got to be a lot of fun.
I'm really enjoying it, Mike. It's like for, you know, 24 years, I had to convince one person that I knew what I was talking about. And now I got to convince millions, but it's still the same shtick, you know, the same sort of lies and the same sort of cliches. You throw them out there and hopefully they believe you.
It really is, you know, there is nobody that, you know, in this room, certainly that digests more golf. Rob watches a lot of golf.
I do.
On,
I watch
TV,
golf.
But it's challenging and it's fascinating. And I am somebody, you know, my wife suffers through it because she'll see me with, you know, it's on all the time. I am doing that all the time. Has the, you know, as far as diving into that, how much prep do they give you before they send you out into the world to do this? Because if you get it and you're good at it, it can be a very, very long-term gig. And you're a newbie. How much prep time do they give you to throw you into that, where you got to know the rules and the ropes of a live telecast?
Most of the prep was mechanical, figuring out how to have the headset work, what to listen to, because you've got two things going on. You've got the broadcast in one ear and you've got the producer in the other ear. And you got to figure out who's talking to me now. Is it my turn to talk? Are they coming to me? And the toughest thing that I've found so far is when they're coming to you and you've got this great thing to say, and you know, it's going to take about 20 seconds. And by the time they get it to you, you've got 8 seconds. And to be able to, you know, turn on a dime and figure out, all right, how do I boil this down to the most important part of what I wanted to say before the guy hits the shot? That's been the toughest part. But in terms of homework, it's a lot of the same stuff I did when I was a caddy, to be honest with you, looking at the golf course, figuring out how to play it. How's this player going to play it? How's this player going to play it? Different weather conditions, stuff like that. So a lot of the homework is very similar. In terms of learning how to, a lot of it's on the fly, the learning, to be honest with you. You'll get notes right after the broadcast, and Tommy Roy, who's an unbelievable producer, will say, hey, I like this. I didn't so much like this. Try this. So a lot of it's on the fly, but you know, I set the bar very low for myself. I haven't cursed yet on the air, and that's all I'm looking for, to be honest with you.
24 years being out there on the PGA Tour and caddying, just a fascinating life. And you guys are, you know, the definitive journeyman. You're out there, and there is just. And what was the biggest change from when you came in? Because that's long enough to be around the old guys,
quarter century,
and the modern PGA Tour. What was the biggest change in your years from when you started to when you wrapped up caddying on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, there's an old caddy mantra that you're supposed to show up, keep up, and shut up. That
was kind of Nicklaus said that, right? Didn't Jack Nicklaus say, show up, keep up, and shut up, where the caddies weren't that involved in the decision-making for some of the stars, right? That came later on now, where they're, you know, it's a partnership out there, right?
Yeah, much later on. At first, if you made your tee time and you were half sober, you were good to go. Nowadays, it is
true.
It's incredible. You know, it's so lucrative. The money is so big out there that guys don't want to trust their careers in one decision can make or break a career, you know, to someone they don't trust. And I think a lot of guys, where it used to be you'd come out on tour and you'd find a tour caddy and then you'd get to know each other. Now guys are bringing out college teammates or brothers or guys they've played a lot of golf with at home and having them learn how to caddy, knowing that they know the person, they know that personality already, and the caddying part they can learn on the fly. So it's changed a bunch. The homework that we do now is just, it's unbelievable. When I started, it was kind of, you know, show up on the first tee and get the pin sheet and away you go. Now, I think most good caddies for good players, you know, they're doing homework the night before. They're looking at pin sheets. They're looking at wind conditions. They're looking at how their players are talking to coaches and sports psychologists about. So it's definitely much more of a team atmosphere than it used to be.
And you have 10 PGA Tour wins, which there are guys that go your entire career, your length of time, 24 years, with not one. And you had 10 of them. Who are you on the bag for some of your wins? And what's the most memorable win you were a part of with your player?
Yeah, I've won with Kevin Sutherland, the match play. Won six times with Hunter, and won once with Kuchar and once with Mark Calcavecchia. So I think my favorite win, that's a good question. Probably the match play with Hunter. I love match play in general. It's just, you know, every day you don't know if you're going home or not.
Absolutely.
I love the immediacy of that, and that's what all Ryder Cups and President's Cups are. And I think winning that with Hunter was probably – we beat Rory McIlroy in the finals, and that was probably my favorite win.
That is so cool. And when you say you caddied for Mark Calcavecchia, he would be, of all these guys, not only the oldest, but old school, right?
Yeah.
Totally old school out there. You're like, hey, come on, just show up. And I always thought of him as being kind of a grizzly old man's man, that type of thing.
Calc is the best. When he was on, Calc. I'm telling you what, you'd give him a number and stand as far away as you could because you knew he was just going to grab a club in 3 seconds and hit it at the pin. There was no question. I'll tell you, one of my favorite Calc stories, though, is we were missing the cut. We were on the last hole, and it was this par three. And, you know, he was in a bad mood. I was in a bad mood. We were ready to get out of there. And he teed up on a par three, and he was about that far in front of the tee marker. And I said, hey, Mark, you need to move that back about 6 inches. And he kind of looked at the ball, looked at the marker, and walked over to the marker, moved the marker up a foot, and then went back and hit his shot.
And
no one in the group had the courage to say anything. Just leave him alone. Let's go.
Oh, that is awesome. I mean, it's just so cool to make the transition. That's not, you know, caddies in the broadcast arena, a new thing. I guess you think of Bones that got the gig, and now it opened a door up. But you're kind of in that trailblazing category of doing this. How did you get the gig with NBC and the Golf Channel?
Yeah, that was all Tommy Roy's mad scientist idea. The producer, he had an idea about 5 years ago for us to do it in at the RSM Classic in Georgia. And he brought Bones and I in. We talked a lot, and we were both interested in doing it. So we did it that Friday and Saturday. I enjoyed it way more than I thought I was going to. That was the shock to me, is how much fun I had doing it. And he kind of said, hey, look, when your caddy career's, you know, running down and you're looking for something else to do, please let me know. And if we've got a spot for you, you know, we'd love to have you. And Bones made that transfer 4 or 5 years ago. And then you know, I came to him after, you know, kind of the late last year and said, hey, I think I'm ready. I don't know if it's this year or the next year after. And it all worked out perfectly. Roger Maltby, who's one of the greatest of all time, had just had knee replacement surgery. So he was going to be out for a little bit. So I came on and I'm no looking back. I'm having a great time doing it.
I would, you know, think anybody, any athlete that makes the transition, and it's similar with caddies, that it immediately, though, puts you in a different role, right? Did you find that when you saw the guys, even the caddies, even the players that you would see, as soon as you're on the other side, that you're a journalist covering this now, that the vibe changed a little bit when you got out there?
Luckily, the vibe hasn't changed too much. I've known these guys for so long, both players and caddies. I know there's a line now that I'm not going to cross that maybe I would have as a caddy. But the great thing about it is, and I think it works for both me and Bones, is that we've got these relationships with caddies and players. And if we get assigned a group the next day, it's easy for us to call or text the caddies in the group and say, hey, what's your guy working on? What's he struggling with? What is his coach working on? So it's great to glean that inside information that the viewer wouldn't otherwise have unless we had those great relationships. And most of the guys are, most of the caddies and players, I think, but caddies especially, are thrilled that me and Bones are doing this, just to kind of show that there's more to the caddy lifestyle and to caddies than a lot of people think. So,
I've listened to you and Bones, and you guys are naturals, and it comes really easy to you, and it can, and that translates, I think, when you do that. I have to ask you this because, but by the way, this is a great surprise, Rob. I had no idea. This is made. You have made my Friday. I would not be doing my job. And by the way, not knowing that this was a guest, ladies and gentlemen, yes, for those of you that say, oh, Mike, you know, has all this in front of him like Ken B. No, this is me right now, happening now.
It was
this
funny.
This is my natural curiosity.
It was funny because when his friend reached out to us, I talked to Mark Riddell. I said, this guy is great for a guest, but wouldn't it be fun to surprise Mike with a talking head? And we had to gauge if he was a big enough fan, and it turns out yes, he is quite fond of the show, so it did work.
We'll get to me. I don't care about me. I care about what he's doing. The thing about, because I'm fascinated by this, because in 24 years, that when you have that kind of track record and you're talking about caddying, to heck with your favorite tour win, I asked the traditional question, but you have to have some caddy stories on the road.
Oh, yeah.
Young, old, in between guys that maybe certainly enjoy an adult beverage after the round. You have to have some moments in your caddying that people did some stuff. Is there anything, not wanting you to jeopardize your career, new career with NBC, is there anything you could share with us that might be interesting with the caddy pool?
How much time have you got? You got 3 or 4 weeks?
I got plenty of time.
Joe Lakoff is one of my great friends, and he works for Tiger now, but he worked for Fred Couples for years and years and years. One of the greatest people on earth, one of the funniest people on earth. And 1 year, Joe has no trouble speaking truth to power. He loves it. He's not impressed by anybody except Mark Bavaro, the old tight end for the New York Giants.
That's hysterical. Mark Bavaro. Now, I remember him.
Fred got paired with Vijay Singh at Augusta 1 year. And at the time, Vijay was probably number one in the world. And he had some rules for his caddy, who was named Paul Tesori at the time. Couldn't eat on the course, couldn't talk to other players, and couldn't use the restroom during the round, which was strict, God. But it was just odd. So Joe, of course, knows these rules. So Joe is obviously going to mess with them both the entire day. So they're walking off the first tee, and they both hit their drives, and Joe puts the bag on his shoulder and gets right next to Paul. Hey, Paul, where are you staying? Where you been eating this week, Paul? Hey, you been playing any golf, Paul? Hey, what is this? How's your wife, Paul? Just egging him on. So they both go to their drives, hit their drives after the green. And as soon as they do that, Joe is right next to Paul again. Hey, Paul, what'd you guys hit there? What you got that wind doing? Just trying to mess with him. And Paul is just sunglasses on, straight faced, nothing. They get up to green and Vijay kind of sidles up behind Joe when Fred's putting and says, hey, Joe, why are you messing with my guy like that? You know he can't talk. And Joe doesn't even turn around and look, but he says, Vijay, if you don't get away from me right now, I'm going to drop you right here on the first green at Augusta National.
Oh, God.
I had had no idea that it was a
BJ loved it. BJ laughed, and you know, it's just one of those great stories. And, and honestly, there's more good stories about Joe than the rest of us combined.
Really? Oh, and it's and he's with Tiger. Speaking of Tiger, I'll just ask you one last golf question, then we'll get to me. And I love talking about me. So as far as what are you hearing out there? The most recent thing I read was Ricky Fowler watched the Masters. They were both on the couch, unfortunately, and both unhappy about it. But they were both watching the Masters, you know, at Tiger's place. What do you hear about the prognosis as far as whether he, you know, will be trying to get, where is he right now? Are you hearing anything about Tiger since he is the main guy out there still? Everybody talks about Tiger. What do you hear?
I hear he's in good spirits, and you know, I know his agent pretty well. His agent is Cooch's agent as well. They keep everything pretty close to the vest in terms of injuries. And, you know, we haven't heard about a lot of things that he's had done over the years. But, you know, at this point, I don't think golf is in the picture yet. I don't think they're even thinking that way. I think they're still waiting for it to heal up as much as it can so he can put weight on it. Once that's done and he can maybe start chipping and putted, then I think he'll have a little better idea of what, if golf is in his future and what kind of golf is in his future. The one thing I've learned over the years, just you can't doubt that guy. Every time I think, well, this is going to be the last surgery. He's had, you know, this surgery or this is going to be it. Every time he's come back. And I just never doubt the guy. I just don't have that in me. So I think at some point we'll be back. He'll be back and we'll see him and play golf again. I hope so. Anyways, it's more exciting when he's around.
I agree. I absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead, Oscar.
And look, this is a rude question, but I have to ask this. What kind of freebies are at these tournaments?
Oh, that's like, a good question,
are they
Oscar.
Gift bags or baskets or
that's good. I've got a follow up to that because I like that question. That's
does someone say,
question.
I don't want this. Do you want this? And it's a car. Like, what is it?
The best freebies are at the team events, the Ryder Cups and the President's
Cups. Just going to ask you that.
They
treat you well, like, too, right?
Yeah, treated like part of the team on those things. And, you know, not only all the clothing that we get for the week, but, you know, every night you come back into your room, there's something new for you there. They treat us like, you know, really part of the team at those events. A lot of events now, when I first started, you were lucky if you could find indoor plumbing, and if you wanted to eat, you went and bought a hot dog at the stand. Now it's changed so much over the years. Now all the events do an incredible job for the caddies. They've got their own room inside. They're catered. They're given gifts every week. And it's night and day compared to the treatment of what when I first started.
Let me interrupt you there. You're still on your own as far as you and your player, as far as your own accommodations, though, right? I mean, for the team events, do they put the caddies up special? I mean, how does that work for like a Ryder Cup? You've done 7 of them. My God, this is such rarefied air. This is so cool. Did they put you guys up and do you have your, this is the caddy hotel, you know, or something like that?
For the team events, we bring a sleeping bag and sleep outside our guys' rooms.
Nice.
In case we hear the bell ring.
Stop.
And we got to bring them tea or ice cream sundae, something like that.
There's the caddy.
No,
right
they put us up at the team hotel. You know, and like I said, we're given carte blanche. Wherever the players can go, we can go.
Wow.
And it's just the captains for the most part, really ask us our opinions on things. They know we know our players better than anybody else does. So yeah, we're in the same hotels, usually right in the same block of rooms. Those events were treated great.
You talk about you have great relationships with the other caddies and the players for 24 years of caddying, but I'm curious, most of the commentators that are on the television didn't walk the greatest courses in the world for 24 years, and you'd have. Do you bring that knowledge, that intimate knowledge of the courses when you're doing your commentary? Because I don't imagine Jim Nantz walking courses for 24 years. I understand you probably have a better understanding of the physicality of the surroundings. Is that helpful?
But he would cut his tie off and give it to a child.
I'm ringing my bell for an ice cream sundae.
He wouldn't cut the tie. He would take the tie off and give it to somebody.
Exactly, yes.
Here, young man, go sell this and pay for your college education. There,
put it
is
on
your
tie. Etsy.
Yeah, that's a good question, though. Yeah, you know the lay of the land, right?
Yeah, and it's something I try and really think about when I'm commentating is what is important here. And, you know, the last thing I want to do is fall back on cliches that you hear all the time. Right. I want to tell the, I want to really be able to explain what goes into this shot and why, what they're trying to do, what they have to avoid doing, whether it's a wind condition or where the hole location is and where you places you have to stay away from, mm-hmm. like especially at Augusta where you can't get it up and down from certain spots. So I'm really trying to explain that whole dimension of caddying, where what's going on between the player and the caddy and what are they trying to figure out right here. So, yeah, all that the course information is invaluable.
Love that.
We're talking to John Wood. John is with us with the NBC and Golf Channel now as an on-course commentator. During your 24 years, how do I put this delicately, John, any experiences with urgency of any kind when you were when you were out there, you know, when you know, you mentioned that VJ, a horrible thing to do to a caddy, not, you know, you can't go potty. You or anybody else you ever know of in the caddy ranks, you know, maybe a few too many Dos Equis at a Mexican restaurant the night before. Any urgency stories out there where you had to run and go?
No, like I said, early on, it was tough to find indoor plumbing for caddies. So my goal as a caddy was always never have to go number two while I was at the course anywhere. Wait to the hotel. But not too many for me. But I can't reveal who this is, but there is one gentleman who had a little intestinal issue at the British Open and left a little present in the gorse where nobody could see him on one hole. So
wow,
his player had to go without a towel for the rest of the day. We'll just leave it at that.
That is awesome. And how did you how did you pick up on our show about 5 years ago? You've been listening for about 5 years to the podcast out there, and you obviously were listening to it during your travels. How did you pick up on this show?
Yeah, I used to listen to KHTK all the time. And when you guys came on there, I was listening one day and I just fell in love with the show. You know, I've been a fan ever since. When that show ended, I think I lost it for a while. And then Megan McGuire, my agent / pimp, told me about the podcast. And that's when I started listening again. So, yeah, I love you guys. And I told Rob the other day when he left a message on my cell phone to call him back. It was so strange hearing that voice somewhere other than the radio. And we go, I know that voice. That's on my, you know, so it's exciting. I've been a big fan for a long time. And Mike, I got a golf question for you.
Absolutely.
Vaguely remember you being a first tee announcer for a President's Cup. Am I wrong about that?
I did two. I did 2000 and would it be 2005?
I think that sounds about right. Yeah.
I did the one in Manassas where Ken Venturi was the captain, and then I did the one where Jack was the captain. And I remember because of the fact that I was a shock jock, there was a little bit of finagling to get the gig. The late George Berger, who was instrumental in putting the early President's Cups together for the PGA Tour at Robert Trent Jones Golf Club, was a fan and a friend. And he really pulled a lot of strings to get me that gig. And I was so excited because it was so, it was the opposite of what I did. You know, I was a shock jock, and it was just like the idea of, you know, putting on the blue blazer, putting on the tie, having Jimmy Roberts tap me on the shoulder and say, yeah, ladies and gentlemen from Windermere, Florida, you know, meeting George H.W. Bush, chatting with Ken Venturi on the first tee. It was special.
When you say Jack, it was Jack Nicklaus who was the captain the second time, right?
The first one was Ken Venturi, and I chatted with Ken. The second captain was Jack Nicklaus. I believe we were all required to stay 50 feet away from Jack.
Well, as something I recall, like
that. Jack is a different animal as far as the way that goes.
As I recall, Jack Nicklaus approached you and said, "Hey, no fart jokes."
No, that's not. But it was cool to be able to do it. And I remember little details like Gary Player walking around the perimeter and shaking hands with every volunteer, which was kind of a very cool thing. And I was a member at RTJ and got a chance to do that back in the days where I had the ka-ching to do that. It was very, very special. Those events are, you know, I mean, I don't have to tell you this. Those are just amazing. Team events in golf are very, very special. And to be part of, God, seven Ryder Cups. That atmosphere is cool. Yeah, I was the announcer twice at the President's Cup, and it was a lot.
And I'll say two things. The President's Cup hasn't been the same since then. 2005.
You're going to do well in broadcasting.
I could never put my finger on why, and now,
oh,
now
you
I
are
really
going to do so well in broadcasting.
I get an idea as to why now.
And the other
thing is, it's a good thing I wasn't caddy in that event, because I would have really tried to get you to introduce my player in your Charlie voice, to be honest with you. I
said, here we go.
I'll give you whatever.
Please welcome Hunter Mahan.
So, quick story about that. I'm nervous. My first one, my very, very, very first President's Cup. I know it's going to be on national television. I am very, very, very nervous about not making any of the missteps. It's also, as you can attest, it's a very... how do I describe this? It is a very formal situation.
Sure.
They are very careful. They want things to be just so. The PGA Tour especially does not want to diverge from it. You know, you got the rules. These are the rules. And so I'm very, very conscious of making a good impression. Right before I'm going to start the announcing part, one of my buddies at Evergreen Country Club out in Haymarket, Virginia, comes up to me and just says, hey, how you doing? Good luck, Mike, with everything. And right before he's walking away, and I think he did this as a legitimate mistake. I don't think he was bright enough to be able to bust my balls on this. I think he did this as a legitimate mistake. He said, now listen, when you introduce the international team, remember, with Retief Goosen, you don't pronounce the G. It's silent. And he walked away. And a guy that I had heard 5 million times, introduced as Retief Goosen. I'm going, Goosen, Goosen. And then I'm like, no, he's not. And he put that in my head probably 5 minutes before I was going to do the broadcast.
That's all you need to do to mess with you, though.
You know how it is when you know, it's like tick, tick, it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Your first thing, you're out there, but it's super special. And this is so cool to have you part of this thing. And now I'm going to take my kid up and try to get to more events and maybe say hello to you on the other side of the ropes when I'm waving at you out there.
We're going to be in your part of the country for the one of the playoff events this year at Owings Mill, Maryland.
Maryland. I'm down here, but I'm down here in FLA.
Well, that's right. A lot more than I am up there. So
do they golf in Florida?
They golf in Florida.
I've heard rumors.
I never asked you because you have caddies that are and caddies that aren't. Are you a good player? Do you play a lot? Do you get a chance to get out there and play?
Played in high school, played in college. I never play anymore. It's like I get time off and I don't want to be on a golf course.
Yeah, busman's holiday, right? Yeah, you want to be away from it.
Exactly. I'll go out occasionally. I'll go out with buddies or junior golfers to kind of help them out, but it's a rare thing. I enjoy hitting balls for a half hour here and there, but to go out and commit 5 hours, to a round of golf, I've had a lot to drink to do that.
Well, you know what, John? What a treat this was. So great talking to you. You
Wonderful.
Are a natural, and I wish you a tremendously long run covering the PGA Tour. We'll watch you on the Magic Box every single weekend when NBC's got and the Golf Channel. I'll watch you every week. It's incredible, and what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity, and I wish you nothing but the best. Keep listening to our show. Is there anybody? We always give everybody talking head. We have a chance to say hello to anybody before.
On social media somewhere?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that?
Yeah, give us any plugs you want to give.
The one thing I wanted to say was I love the show, and I'm going to keep listening no matter what, but I think you guys need a weekly segment just – what's Maddie doing today? Since Maddie's left the show, I loved her on the show. Once a week, here's what I got going on. And I think it'd be wonderful to keep in touch with her for the listeners. I think I loved hearing her when she was on the show.
Well, I can tell you what she did this week. She made snarky comments about The Bachelor. And that's our Maddie update.
So normal.
Yeah, exactly.
Normal week.
John, would it have been so tough for somebody that was treated so well on her way out to drop the namesake of the show, maybe a text or an email or anything like that? A little thanks for the run here.
She hasn't left yet. She's still in town.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now I'm fishing. Now it won't be genuine. Now if I receive that, it won't be genuine.
You ruined everything.
John, we will when's the next time we can hear you, see you on the Magic Box?
U.S. Open in Torrey Pines in the middle of June.
Oh my God!
Fantastic.
And I'm guessing with all the
play one of the small gigs. There you go.
And Mike, if you've got Yellowstone questions, get my email from Rob. And,
can you come? And we got to get you back. Let's get you back sometime after. Can we get you back around the time of the either before and after the U.S. Open to talk about it?
That would
be a lot of fun. I'd love to have you as a regular contributor to this show. And I would love to do that. We'll send you like some features, some golf songs. Okay, we'll do that.
And I know we mentioned social media. Judging from the amount of CDs behind you, I'm guessing we should follow you on eBay.
John, you rock. Thank you.
I worked for Tower Records for 7 years, so that's why I've still clung to the old gear.
Awesome. Understood.
Well, you made my Friday. You made my weekend. This is absolutely John Wood with NBC and the Golf Channel. Thank you so much, and thanks for supporting our show, and good luck in everything you do. It was an absolute blast talking to you, and I had no idea. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Way to go, Rob, you sneak.
Nah.
Oh, boy. Well, we're going to have a letdown after this. It's going to be Oscar's take.
Oscar's take.
We'll do that when we come back on the Mike O'Meara Show. Hello. This is Dick Queasy, and I'm glad to talk to you all again. I know that you heard a lot about restaurant folk moaning about how the pandemic's been bad for business, but I'm here to tell you, not here. Matt and I have been hoarding seafood since St. Patrick's Day 2020 and keeping it in my freezer. Actually, it's more of a fridge, but who cares? I got over 13 months of nearly good as fresh fish, lobster, clams, scallops, and some things I think might be calamari. Come out to Queasy's, it all tastes good thanks to my special ingredient, blue cheese crumbles. Mmm, and here's a kitchen secret. My blue cheese started out as cheddar. No mask, no problem. Come as you are. Don't worry, there's not a thermometer in sight. Why would I take your temperature when I don't even take my seafood's temperature? By golly, I'll see you soon at Dick Queasy's or at the ER.
He's
back.
He is. He's had a tough couple months, but he's back, baby.
That is Dick
Well
Queasy.
Done.
This is, my goodness gracious, what an interesting program this is already today. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by HVMN. Here's a fact. The average American consumes around 17 teaspoons of added sugars each day. So if what you put in your body today is the foundation for the you of tomorrow, start cutting out unnecessary sugars from your diet. Well, later in the show, you might think I need to do that,
dear.
And I do. HVMN is obsessed with helping you reach those goals through modern nutrition, powering your metabolism with less sugar and more ketones, modern nutrition for modern lifestyles. HVMN is a nutrition company that takes the mystery out of counting macros. They're results-driven, modern nutrition for modern lifestyles with less sugar than the competitors. Whether you're just curious about keto, want to improve performance, lose weight, or boost brain and body wellness, HVMN has a non-intimidating solution for you, and it tastes great. HVMN offers single items like MCT oil, keto food bars, and keto collagen powder. Or you can grab a kit that includes all the essentials at an everyday discount. Right now, HVMN is offering our listeners an additional 10% off their first order when you go to hvmn.com/TMOS. Embrace healthy living today. Go to hvmn.com/TMOS for 10% off your first order. That's hvmn.com/TMOS for 10% off. That's a lot of letters right now. And now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado. By the way, thank you for that, guys. That was great. It was a real surprise to me that we got that guy. And sometimes I read the Talking Head profile, and sometimes I don't. This was one, I think it was in the cards, that I didn't do that. It's time for...
It was fun.
Oscar's take.
Oscar's take.
A review and comment of the news of the day is only a Bolivian Bluebeard can do it. The views expressed by Oscar Santana in no way reflect the views of the Mike O'Meara Show, its listeners, and the right-thinking people of the United States. And now, without further ado, here's Oscar's take.
Oscar's take!
Oscar.
That was Jack Nicklaus again.
A woman.
Hi there. Hi.
A woman posted a video on TikTok of Matthew Perry flirting with her. This is, of all the stories in Oscar's take today, this is yours.
I love it.
This, I'm really fascinated to see what you have to say about that. Well, they connected on a dating app. Raya is the name of the lady, and that she says this supposedly happened back in May when she was 19 and Matthew was 51. That's the dating app is Raya. The lady's name is not Raya. I got the story wrong. The woman's name is Kate Harrelson. And in the clip she posted, Matthew makes a comment about how much he plays with her hair, and she chuckles. She wrote a caption saying, quote,
When you match with Matthew Perry as a joke on a dating app, and he FaceTimes you and plays 20 questions with you. As for why she posted the video when she was on the dating app and he was on the dating app, she says, quote, "I feel like a lot of guys in Hollywood are talking to all these young girls, and it's something that I think a lot of people should be aware of."
Yeah.
I welcome your take on this.
If she's over 18 and, you know, I don't know if 51 and 19's a, you know, traditional match, but like, we send kids to war. And let alone people are gonna date. I feel like
we let them smoke. They can buy cigarettes.
Well, it's also want. I think if you're on a dating app and you can obviously they FaceTimed after she confirmed with him. And look, I understand he's 51, she's 19. If he's single, and I guess he was having a respite from his relationship he was in. But this
they were on a break.
They were on a break. What happened?
That's funny.
What?
That's
just from Friends.
That's a classic line from Friends.
Yeah. They're on a break. They're on a break. But there were a few hoops that she had to go through and he had to go through, and then it smells like a setup.
Okay.
Yeah, did she say in the story that she talked to him as a joke?
Yeah.
You see, that's trashy right there. That's not classy.
That's setting the guy up.
Yeah. Also, you're in the middle of a pandemic. We're not supposed to go on dates.
Right.
There's a reason why Match.com.
And he's flirting with a 19-year-old on a dating app website, and then she's out there saying, it's not okay. It's just a little bit. That's a little
imagine
to me.
If you're single.
As much as I don't necessarily, I wouldn't want my daughter to be sitting there with a 51-year-old guy.
If I had a daughter,
21-year age.
Not even Chandler.
You know?
If I had a daughter and she was dating a celebrity, I kid you not, there'd be a lot of secret high fives with her mother because we're like maybe he can take care of her now. Maybe
I think she's.
Could this be any luckier?
You're listening.
Maybe
to
they'll
Oscars.
Give us Oscars an advanced take. Copy of the next Netflix version of Friends. Maybe we'll see that early.
God, that would be a great plot for that reunion show. I was on a break.
This really should be Rob's take instead of Oscar's take. Feel free to weigh in on this one,
Thank
Rob.
You.
An online petition is demanding the TLC cancel the entire Duggar family. Now that Josh Duggar, the oldest of the core family's kids, has been indicted on child porn. The original show, 19 Kids and Counting.
And Counting!
Was canceled in 2015 after Josh's previous scandal, where he was found that he molested his own sisters. Mm. But TLC is still airing, which I didn't know, a spinoff called Counting On without Josh. The Change.org petition says, quote, "The Duggar family should no longer have a platform. Enough is enough. Too many people have been harmed. TLC has not commented. More than 9,700 people have signed the petition." I welcome both of your takes on this.
Well, look, you can't have that many people in your life and not one of them be a scumbag. You just can't. All of us have relatives, right? And they all have.
Yeah, but he's the oldest. If they had stopped at one kid, they'd still have a scumbag.
I don't know if there's a fine line for anything like this, because in today's society, even prior to the way that we can find out instantaneously about people's lives and their backgrounds, I feel like that's the line you cannot cross when it comes to children. And there is no redemption story from there. There just isn't.
I agree. I think get him off.
Well, I think
get off of television. Your little pervy son, damaged the brand to that extent.
I think they probably own all the footage TLC does, because that's probably how they set up the reality show back in the day. They should do at least a one-off spotlighting what a scumbag this guy is and making sure people know what he did, because don't cancel it. That's like ignoring it almost. Let's call attention to the fact that this guy did what he did. They have the platform to do it. They could.
They could if they were, you know,
if
responsible.
If they cared, yeah.
But they won't be.
They
You're won't. Listening to Oscar's Take,
this is called
and
Oscar's Take.
If you tune into the Olympics Oscar this summer, if there is an Olympics this summer, you might catch some wicked slip and slide action.
Oh, dear.
Not as an Olympic event, of course, as an after show. NBC has a reality competition in the pipeline called Ultimate
what?
Ultimate Slip and Slide. And they're premiering it immediately following the Olympic closing ceremony on Sunday, August 8th. It's hosted by, this ought to tell you it's going to be a winner.
Yes.
It's hosted by former Saturday Night Live star Bobby Moynihan. Details are vague, but it sounds like they've created an entire water park of giant slip and slides, with at least some being closer to actual slides than pieces of slippery plastic. NBC says one is 65 feet tall. Teams will compete in challenges like human bong, body bowling, cornhole,
look out,
and bocce fail. So look for that coming. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with the Olympics. It's now, just going to premiere then, I guess. Yeah.
I went on the record that I did enjoy the show Wipeout, which is still on. And that's, these are obstacle course shows are just an evolution of Double Dare when we were kids on Nickelodeon. Now we've got American Ninja Warrior, which is probably cheap to produce, and you just put it up and people, you know, break their ankles every week, and we watch it and root for them.
And also, go further back. Remember, this is a spinoff of the old obstacle course from Battle of the Network Stars.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Remember that?
American Gladiator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot. These
slides
shows
intrigue me, though. I like that.
Yeah, it'll be fun, but I mean, come on. Do something different for once.
I don't know. This is a little different. This, to me, recalls, do you remember about 5 years ago there was the celebrity diving show?
I remember that.
And Louis Anderson was on it, and all of his dives looked like the mob was disposing of a body. But I thought that it would be really great if Louis Anderson could do the slip, because he could probably build up some
celebrity
speed.
Celebrity slip and slide.
Zoom.
Here I go.
Yes, all right.
Finally, Oscar, a 24-year-old woman named Clara Gillum from Nashville, Tennessee, started posting selfies on TikTok that show her stomach before she eats a big meal, and then one that shows it after she eats her big meal.
Gross.
And now other people are getting in on the trend and posting their before and after photos. Clara says she's gotten a ton of great feedback from people who are insecure about their bloating after eating.
Now
this is helping them realize, in case they didn't, that it's totally normal. So, bloating stomach videos.
A food baby is a fact of life.
Food baby!
We all get them.
We've named the show.
We all get them. It's literally something that, whether you're skinny or fat, you get them.
Right.
It's just, if you make a big deal out of it, then it's your fault. I try to hide my food baby. I suck it in even more when that happens.
Yeah. And some people associate with this show, you can't tell whether the food baby is at 6 months or 8 months. It's really hard to tell.
Mike,
it's
totally congratulations. Yes. I'm having triplets.
There we go. What's the point? Anyway, speaking of that, I'll tell you about our fabulous Mother's Day weekend that we have, including something I am I'm very excited about. I'm not proud of it, but I'm excited about it.
Good.
And I'm already rubbing my hands together nervously as I'm talking about that. We'll be right back with more fun right here on the Mike Calavera Show.
Mrs. Z wants candy.
Well, we should have something sweet.
She loves candy.
Airheads, they're sour. Sour Patch. The watermelon flavored ones.
Sweet Tarts.
Nerds. Black Licorice.
Shannon.
Good and Plenty. Chocolate.
A Hershey bar.
Peanut butter cup.
Mary Jane's.
Watermelon. I ate all of my favorite candies.
Don't worry, Peach. You can stock up on all your favorites through the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Click the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Thanks, Peach.
Sorry, I took a big swig. Sorry about that. I apologize.
All
going
good.
Back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone. Treasury Secretary. I want to talk to you about Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen.
Yeah.
Hey, Abbott!
We got all the money! We got your money!
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen.
I'm so idiot, funny.
That is
was
great.
In the headlines recently saying that
high rates may be needed.
quote, to make sure that our economy doesn't overheat. Okay. What does this mean to you? It means that whether you want to refinance or purchase, the time to act may be right now.
Yes.
And you got to get somebody you know. Mark Livingstone's been associated with this show for a good long time. And if you count all of us, I think we might be talking about 2, 4, at least 5, or maybe 6 mortgages associated with
the show. 9
if
you count my parents.
That it's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is. Mark Livingstone knows his stuff. He's with Cornerstone First Financial. They're actually at in the building we're in, and we've known them for a long time, and they have a lot of success stories with our listeners. Cornerstone First has a history of winning out over others and getting settlements to the table on time while getting their clients the absolute lowest rate. They're a direct lender and will guarantee to meet or beat any offer, so call them now, 202-625-1221. Home values have climbed to their highest levels in 15 years, and you don't want to miss out. Take cash out for any reason, and in most cases, it's tax deductible. Booyah.
Booyah.
The pros at Cornerstone, 202-625-1221, or you can go to cornerstonefirst.com. Call now, Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. All right, I've been wanting to talk about this all week. We have a very
have
special...
Have you really?
I'm excited about it.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. I like to share. It's what I do. Why I don't post so much on Facebook, because I share here. We have a very big restaurant mission this weekend. We are going. There's a famous restaurant in Tampa that's called it's Burns Steakhouse, and it's very, very special.
Look at this.
And now why are you laughing already?
I'm laughing because like Janet Yellen, I'm thinking my meat's overcooked.
No, B-E-R-N.
Oh, Burns. Oh, okay, not Burns.
Like Burns.
And
okay.
We're going up this weekend because it's a place where you have to get your reservations months in advance.
Oh, okay.
And it's super special. And the last time I went up there, we didn't get a chance to get the full experience. Now, the full experience is you have a nice dinner. They also have a tour of what apparently is a very elaborate wine cellar. We're not big on the expensive wines. We don't do that. But but they have a tour. But then the pièce de résistance at the end of the meal is... and Rob, I think you will get into this.
Okay.
Is upstairs, there is, exclusive to the restaurant, what is referred to as the dessert room.
The entire room?
A room in and of itself dedicated to desserts.
Now, I have always been enamored of the dessert cart. But I can't believe they've taken it to the next level. Like if you're at a Morton, say, and they roll out the cart between the impossibly narrow aisles, and there's cheesecakes and pies and torts.
This is nothing.
Oh, God.
The dessert room is the thing. You wheeze your way up the stairs, I think, to, I don't even know. I haven't been there yet. So
you know what? Maybe an elevator.
It looks like stairs.
Are you looking at it right now?
I'm looking at it as we speak.
Okay, so we are really excited. We are taking my mother-in-law, and we are going with my wife. We have childcare for the son. We are staying overnight.
This has to be a big deal because Google auto-completed dessert room.
Yes. It is.
Oh,
it is very, very special.
God.
And I don't know because this is the way. Let me explain to you the way the fat brain thinks, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not somebody who is heavy, let me explain that my concern is the ability to sample multiple different things. You see, so I don't know how it's going to work.
I see a lot of what look like small plated desserts. So sampling may be in your future, Mr. Scholarship Winner.
Right. And then when I am put into the car afterwards with my coma, I will return. But it's a very special Mother's Day weekend. That's the excuse. Carla thought of this in advance and made this reservation months in advance. I had a buddy of mine down here that travels up there and swears by this place. As a very, very special experience. And so you checked it out, Oscar?
Dude, it's intimidating is what it is. Mm-hmm. And look, I get a little overwhelmed when someone talks about tiramisu at any type of restaurant where I'm like, oh, do you have cheesecake? I'm a cheesecake guy.
Mike, can you see this? This is a shoe.
I see, is that strawberries or raspberries?
The strawberries on a chocolate-made shoe made of ganache and cake, and it looks like a high heel, and you can eat it. It's very scummy.
I would be scared to overindulge in my dinner and not have enough room for dessert.
I am already preparing that. I am already thinking about that.
What's your strategy?
I can't. I don't care. I would skip the meal. I would skip the meal and go straight
That's
upstairs.
Valid, because you know what? A steak is a steak. When you get right down to it.
You don't get a body like this without a real fondness for sugar.
Exactly. Right?
You know, and I realize that I am flirting with the beaties, and that you know, I got a checkup coming up the end of June. I gotta mind my P's and Q's. This is kind of my wife and I are both looking at this as a one off,
right.
where this is going to be very, very
Speaking
special.
Speaking of flirting,
she may consider it a one off.
Well, you know,
you're
going to get your card punched again, Oscar.
And Carla, for the love of God, hide the chocolate chip.
You want to talk about flirting? This dessert room is the 19-year-old girl, and Mike is Matthew Perry.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. Hey, I love the way you play with your meringue.
Let's play 20 questions about your ganache.
What type of food, baby, do you want to have? Do you want to have one of steak or desserts?
I don't care about steak. I don't.
Okay.
I don't really care about steak.
All right, then you're good.
Yeah.
I care about the desserts.
Yeah.
Because the way it was explained to me, I'll use the fat voice for this.
Okay, please.
The way it was explained to me,
yeah.
Oscar, is that it's not just that they have a room with these desserts. It's the quality of the desserts.
Mm. Sure.
The homemade nature of these confections.
Mm-hmm. And there are maybe 8 or 9 things there that I would, you know, put on the top of my list. It's a dessert lover's paradise. As a matter of fact, the guy that told me about it was another fat guy, and he said, oh, you got to go there, and you know what? And I said, what? He's like, brings me in. And you know what? I said, what? He said, they've got a dessert room. And I looked at him, I said, is it good? And he goes, oh.
Mike, I actually have from YouTube.
Yes.
Burns has this is from a couple years ago, but this is a spot from Burns' steakhouse.
And I'll do anything for food. I can eat 2 dozen eggs, 36 pork chops, 24 frankfurters. I've eaten a dozen bagels at one time, with 2 packages of cream cheese. I'm never full. I am never full physically. I stopped at a Jewish deli and had 2 pastrami on clubs.
He never stops at my 4
frankfurters, 2 knishes, and then went home and had Chinese food.
He never stops. I have asked him to stop that forever. He never
he
doesn't
to
play
hear
it all the way.
Well, Mike, it's
complete.
And then goes home for Chinese food.
It's circular. And before you email, folks, I don't know where the tape is from. I don't remember, so stop asking.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I have to ask you. So you're going to drive an hour and a half to Tampa.
Two and a half hours.
Yes. Okay, 2.5 hours.
Well, he might make it in 2 hours because he'll be excited.
Carl will probably be driving. Carl will be driving, and I'll be in the passenger seat just shaking my knees.
Reading the PDF of the menu off your phone.
This is a true pilgrimage.
Yes,
a true pilgrimage.
Yeah, we got a hotel room.
Yeah. That's amazing.
We're staying overnight.
Staying in the dessert room, though. Let's be clear.
No, we're not staying in that. No. And who wants to drive back after that meal, right? You don't want to do that.
Can we crack a window, please?
Yes, exactly. Oh, my God. So, very, very, very excited about this dessert room. Should be fun.
Oh, it will be fun.
I can't wait.
Oh, my God. Take pictures. Take pictures.
Pictures. Lots of pictures. It's a clinker. We'll take a break and come back with, I don't know, something.
Something.
It's a happy Friday, everybody. We'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Oh, man. Chocolate shoe.
Made of cake.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Probably have a couple beers.
TMOS.
2, 3, 4.
A full-bodied podcast.
Sometimes wine.
With earthy tones of pop culture and a bouquet of comedy, wit, and sarcasm.
Do you drink every night, Pony?
Yeah. I'll have a martini about 5 o'clock.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Sometimes 4 to 6 beers.
A drinking show.
4 or 5 drinks.
With a radio problem.
How am I alive?
Watch the live feed weekdays at MikeO'MaraShow.com or download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Getting everything you need to cook dinner can be complicated.
A hassle.
But with Freshly, it's simple. Freshly has chef-made delicious meals delivered fresh to your door with no cooking required. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every week so you can keep your fridge stocked and skip the trip to the store. Ordering is easy. Visit Freshly.com and choose from over 30 delicious, better-for-you meals, and the variety will astonish you.
It will astonish you.
Freshly can work for any dietary needs, preferences, tastes, and family size. And now, our listeners can try Freshly for just $6.16 per meal.
So start living your life freshly. Your meals are always delivered fresh, never frozen, and ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. Oscar, you have been a Freshly man forever. You love it, and you like the meatballs. Am I right about that?
I feel great. Every time I open up that box, Mike, there's meatballs, there's pork chops. You can choose. You can choose what you want. The bison burger's great.
And you know what he has at his house, Mike? A Freshly room.
Yes. The Freshly room, just like the dessert room. Right, exactly. Now, Freshly offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to Freshly.com/TMOS. Make better eating a priority and get this special limited time offer. Go to Freshly.com/TMOS for $40 off your first two orders. Try Freshly now. And for a limited time, get $40 off your first two orders. Go to Freshly.com/TMOS to learn more. All right, we jammed this in because I didn't realize we're going to have such a great talking head, but I did right at the beginning of the show today. I wanted to get a little Mother's Day love here for my mom, God rest her soul. I had nothing to do with Mother's Day. I had a long chat with my sister this morning, just seeing how they're doing, talking about that guy Connor, the criminal that stole the art. Mm-hmm. And
did she remember The Rock?
Oh, she remembered it. Yeah, she said great. That was. I said right across from the seafood joint next to the craft store, right there. Tree obscures it right now, but I said it for years.
That's great.
That's The Rock. Connor hit me on. I fall asleep when I'm watching it though. The documentary pony. I haven't been able to just maintain consciousness all the way through. So
that's what they want you to do. Because when you conk out, they steal all your pictures.
They catch you.
Yeah,
that's how they do it. But moms, you know, the one thing, the story I tell about my mom, and I'll make this quick, and then you guys can say something nice about your moms too.
Okay.
And everybody should take time today to say something nice to their mom or about their mom or something like that. The thing that I will always love about my mom and what I will remember about my mom is that she had a pretty significant life prior to my dad. Child of the Depression, you know, had a tough life growing up, but a good life. She was not. I wouldn't call her in deep poverty, but she was not. She was not wealthy. She was poor, and they grew up in a tough world. But they had a great home life, and then she found the man of her dreams. And this guy was a tremendous overachiever. Obviously, went to the United States Naval Academy and became a naval aviator in World War II. And so, you know, I will always reflect on his name was Joe Lister, by the way, and we all knew about him. She was my mom's first husband. He was my mom's first husband. And I will always reflect on what she was all about, that after she married this man and then the amazing bliss, euphoria of the end of World War II, and Joe Lister, the naval officer who was a pilot, a naval aviator, was getting ready to continue in the service, and was they were going to be stationed in the Philippines, and they were making their arrangements for the Philippines. And on these aircraft carriers, they were still flying what are called sorties missions, just around, just to keep the planes moving. But the way it was explained by my mom to me is that after World War II, it was party time. They were having the war was over. It was over. They were all coming back. They were coming home, and they weren't maintaining the planes like they did. And his plane on one of these missions, he took off, experienced engine failure, and went into the drink and was never recovered. They kept a destroyer, I think, out in the area for a couple of weeks, and she received a telegram at, I believe, the age of 26. That her husband, you know, after World War II, the euphoria, she was going out to meet him. They were going to live in the South Pacific. It was just very cool, and it was devastating. And she rebounded after this. I don't know how most people, you know, a lot of people wouldn't be able to do that. She did. She met my dad. They had a wonderful life.
I came along.
Yay.
Baby Mike.
And stuff like that. And I always thought, what a life she had and what a great woman she was. And I miss her every single day. If there's anything great that happens about my son, Michael, I find myself occasionally reaching for the phone and nope, she's not the first one I can give this to. And it's a giant hole in my life. Even though she was lived a good long life, it's a giant hole. And anybody that's lost a parent knows what I'm talking about. But miss you, Mary Elizabeth O'Mara. I have a documentary film that I did on the occasion of her 80th birthday. That maybe I'll share a clip or two from it one of
I'd
these
love
days.
To see it.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
You know, on her next birthday, we might do that. But that's my mom's story. So, miss you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day to Mary O'Mara.
My mom You know, and I joke about things. You know, I was not a planned baby. You know, I come from a broken home and I make light of it. But yeah. I know this is that when I look back, my mom busted her ass so hard when I was growing up to make sure that I never went without. And the amount of late nights she worked and weekends and Sundays that she worked. Mm. And she always, you would think that, you know, forced into being a parent and being a victim of divorce as she was, or part of a divorce as she was, she might be a little soured on the whole notion of family. But what she did is she actually doubled down and reinforced the importance of family to me. And it was always, it was just so important for the holidays to be with the family. And she was instrumental in making sure that I spent time with my grandparents. And that's something, I mean, the fact that my kids...
Do you think she would have had to take that Sunday job if you ingested the normal amount of calories?
No, Mike, no. And remember, she did work at a grocery store. And I know she was stealing.
By design.
By design. And I remember being picked up on a Sunday night. And it's a very sweet memory of my mother having a smoke and drinking a beer on the way home in the car. And, you know, it was legal then, Oscar. It was legal.
Yeah, road soda.
But the I think the sweetest thing my mom ever did family-wise for me is because her marriage was rather sudden and my dad was a kid at the time, she never got a diamond ring. She never owned a diamond. And when my grandmother passed, the ring, my grandmother's engagement ring, was willed to my mother. And when I told my mom I was about to propose to Carrie, she said, well, what are you going to do about a ring? I said, well, I hadn't really thought about that. The decision is all I've gone so far. And she says, well, it would mean a lot, I think, to you, and I know it would mean a lot to me. Would you like to have mom's ring to give to Carrie? And I said, I would be out of my mind. I think that would be so amazing. But that's your diamond. And she says, yes, but you're my son. And
That's sweet. That's sweet. Beautiful.
And so
that's exactly what I was looking for today. And that is sweet.
That's the reason why I call my mom every day. And sometimes we're serious. Most of the times we're goofy. Last night, I forget how we got there. My poor mom had a hot water heater or a hot water tank bust this week. She's going through a lot of stuff. And something about the, and I forget where we got to it, but I got to use the phrase with my mother, and then you can your brains out. And I just was thinking, you know, there's
sounds
not a
like
lot of
a water
people,
turned off story
yeah, but it's just there's not a lot of people that can enjoy such a wonderful emotional experience like that with your own mother and be so close to her when you're in your 50s now but still cuss to make her laugh. I love her and the ground that she walks on. She's the best.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Oscar, we've saved the best. You certainly, your mother has been on the show a lot lately, and we all love her, too.
Look, I love my mom, but how do I say this gently? My mother is a pain in my ass. If I could count her as a dependent, I would. That's all I got.
That's it?
That's it?
That's it.
You're not going to go anywhere with
my
that?
My mom texted me this morning about something she needs. I got a pilgrimage to Olney every Sunday. Sit there, and she talks throughout the movies we watch. She says that if there's a protagonist that, you know, didn't go, that went to college, she talks about my dad not letting her go to college. If somebody's like a superstar athlete that she talks about, she could have been somebody, but my dad didn't let her do that. It's been brutal.
I didn't realize that your dad prevented her from becoming a superstar athlete. Wow.
Or the tears come and goes, it's because I had you guys that I didn't do this. Sunday.
Oh, boy.
That's touching.
Pain that in my butt. I love it.
That's so that's sweet.
Wonderful. That's I tell it's three different people, ladies and gentlemen. You never know quite what you're going to get on the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll take a break, and it's the final digital dumpster. We'll find out if Francis is still in there.
Hope so.
When we come back right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. And to Yoli, we love you. Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Hello, this is Arnold.
How are you? Are you feeling good? Good. I'm feeling good. Sure, why not? The virus couldn't get me. I'm too strong.
I wore a mask.
Yeah. Ich bin wash my hands and make it the social distance. Sure. You like that, huh? Of course you do. Soon. I will be out with the Kinder and my fans and driving the Humvee in the Palm Springs as soon as we get the herd immunity. So, be like me. Continue to wear a mask, because just wash your hands and stay 6 feet away. That way you can swing your Conan the Barbarian sword. Classic Arnold noise, right? Yeah, all right. Now, there's my maid. Auf Wiedersehen.
He's too strong, Mike.
Arnold, why should you prove...
what?
Let me start again. I'm sorry. Wallowing in Arnold. Why should you choose
yes.
proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Well, I can tell you that. Try boosted immunity, better recovery, and increased energy. You need Sleep Number. Sleep helps us recover faster from exercise, injuries, and illnesses. Furthermore, deep sleep decreases anxiety overnight by reorganizing connections in the brain. And REM sleep is essential for many of the brain's cognitive and emotional functions. And since most of it happens during the second half of the night, it's important to get 7 to 9 hours of sleep. That's why I love Sleep Number. Here's a fact. Sleepers who routinely use their Sleep Number 360 smart bed features get almost 100 hours more proven quality sleep per year. I wouldn't sleep on anything else. Remember, a great day starts the night before. My Sleep Number setting is now a 65, and so is Carla's. We're tied. Yes, that's right. Tied. Literally.
It's a contest. It's always been a contest with you two.
Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep, and you can save up to $1,200 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds and adjustable bases. That's new.
Mm-hmm.
For a limited time, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/TMOS. Just make sure that they know that Mike O'Mara sent you. If you get yourself your Sleep Number bed, let them know that we sent you.
Do it.
It's very, very important. All right? Do you get that? Let's see. All right. There you go. Open the thing, and let's see if she's in there. Frances! Oh, Frances!
She's excited because you know her kids are coming to the dumpster on Sunday.
Very, very excited to visit her.
Yeah, yes, for Mother's Day.
Oh, that's really loud. Sorry about that.
Right.
That's what I wanted. For Mother's Day, this was trending on YouTube yesterday. It looks like the sweetest young female toddler baby you've ever seen in a high chair.
I love this sound. I cheated, Rob. I read ahead and I looked at this and this baby...
It was all over the place yesterday.
It's an absolute Gerber baby. This baby is a baby that could be used in advertisements. It's a foreign family. They're sitting there. But mama is used in a lot of different languages. And they're trying to get the baby to say mama. And the baby does. But the voice the baby has.
Was the voice actor Mercedes McCambridge?
Did the voice of The Exorcist?
Yeah, Google that after the program, folks. Here is this sweet little baby.
AJ, come to see mama.
Mama. Mama.
I expected the father to say, what about the boy?
What about the boy?
Play that again so you're sitting there. They obviously, I have no idea where this voice is coming from, but it would freak me the hell out.
Yeah, it's very weird.
AJ, come to see mama.
Mama. Mama. Mama.
So happy Mother's Day,
terrifying.
Everybody. Happy
Might
Mother's
be time Jesus. For a check, you know, just, I mean, really, a little medical check. If the baby goes, Mommy. I'm not going to soil that to
them. Mama. Mama. Mama.
And whatever you get mom for Mother's Day, you might not want to bring her a mouse.
What do you have there? What is in that box?
A mouse?
Why do you have a mouse? You're not bringing a mouse at the house. You're not bringing a mouse at the house. There's a mouse in the box. Why do you have a mouse? Why do you have a mouse?
Because it's a pet.
You're not having a mouse at the house. You're not having a... No, no.
Remember, mice are vermin. Mom don't want vermin, okay? Good.
Vermin bad. Vermin
I very, have very to bad. Imagine, although I can't verify it, that this is a tape from Florida because it involves an alligator. And a man was down at the fishing hole.
You could have them in Louisiana, South
Carolina,
too, Rob.
You could very surely have them.
Sometimes North Carolina gets their share of gators, mm-hmm. too. And Alabama, you got to make sure that the Georgia coastline also has its share of gators. There are gators everywhere, Elizabeth.
Also, don't forget, Elizabeth, that you can get a gator in a New York sewer because kids flush them down the toilet.
That's right. Down to Bayou.
So anyway, this man, I can't tell because you don't see him. He's just running away. It looks like he might have been doing the kind of fishing without a pole where you just literally cast a line in the water.
Okay.
And he pulls a fish out and the gator comes after him and he's running and he has a request for the alligator.
Oh my God. He wants it.
Oh, he got it. He got it. He got it.
Hey, bud, I appreciate it, Mac. Can I have my fish back, please?
The whole reason I pulled that, Mike, is the phrase, I appreciate it back. Mm-hmm.
That's you know, it's fishing in the afternoon, law school in the morning. There you go. Yeah,
when he stands up in front of his law class and says, I appreciate it back.
Gators, you know, it's funny. I was, what was I doing? I was dropping off my son's, we were dropping off my son's best friend, Donnie. At his parents' house,
right.
And we brought Frankie with us, the Chihuahua, and we let Frankie out and got to meet their dog. They've got a, I think it's called a Burmadoodle. It's a Burmese mountain dog.
Cool.
And a,
oh, wow.
A poodle. Beautiful, gorgeous dog. And then Frankie goes onto the side of the house, make sure he doesn't go back there. There's a gator back there. That's Florida reality.
Wow.
You know, you got Florida reality down here.
Yes.
Wow. You got to be mindful of these, especially little dogs, you know.
Oh, Frankie. Said, when you found that out, appetizer. Did you say, go ahead around the side of the house, Frankie?
No, I said, we'll get to it.
So I think it was the last time SpaceX, the Elon Musk company, launched their Mars rocket, the landing, it blew up. Remember, we actually had that on the audio vault.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday they did another prototype launch, and I think it was in Texas, and the landing was successful.
So Starship cool. Heading back to the landing zone. And Starbase Flight Control has confirmed, as you can see on the live video, we are down. The Starship has landed.
Yeah, but it sucks.
What's wrong with the announcer? Seriously, listen to this again. It's like, well,
he's not an announcer.
Starship heading back to the landing zone.
Okay, stop right there.
Starship's
heading back to the landing zone.
Do you expect anything else? That's no, the it's voice just, I mean, expect.
He didn't say landing zone. He said landing zone. It sounded like Trump.
Landing zone.
Yeah, he did blow it.
Starbase Flight Control has confirmed.
He did blow it. Sorry, but I didn't realize that.
Starship heading back to the landing zone.
Landing.
But there's why Starship. That sucks.
Man, we're very
Here's why this sucks is Elon Musk is hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend. Yeah, if it had blown up, it would have been for better jokes.
Yeah, that
it's not going to be. Look, you. God love you. You watch it every weekend.
I have to.
But come on, right?
Well, it's also, Mike, Miley Cyrus is liable to do something outrageous.
No, what they're doing is it's a shill.
Yes,
it's without stunting. Any real entertainment value. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, but that's what the show has become.
Ugh, God, you know, horrible.
All right, they're
just I mean, getting a guest like that to me, it just leaves me flat. You know, I don't get it.
Do you remember David after the dentist?
Yes, the guy. That was all hopped up on...
Little kid.
I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
I feel fine.
Kind of felt good, didn't it?
Is this real life?
Yeah.
So, if you want to feel old, David, who was the little boy in that clip, is now a 20-year-old college student.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
And he is releasing the video as an NFT.
Mm.
So you can buy and be the exclusive owner of David After the Dentist as a non-fungible token. Is that the word, Oscar?
Yes.
You know, BitChain and all that stuff that
great
the kids
work.
Love. Yes. Thank
Perfect.
You. And so, but these things are bringing hundreds and thousands of dollars to people. And if you want to be the
original, you get the original digital footprint.
You own it. No matter how many copies are made, you own it.
So when you own it, Oscar, you can't make any more money off
it's
of it, right?
No, it's not like you get the royalties off of it. It's a collectible.
Right, that's it.
And it's
so
only,
someday, maybe down the road, he could sell it to somebody
it's
else?
It's only as valuable as the market that is open for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would
it's
imagine.
It's like baseball cards.
A video like that.
Yes.
With more time passing. Would lose its value with less people that remember it?
There are Time Magazine covers that are being sold as this NFTs. And that may seem like it may bring a little more value.
Well, but how can they do that if it exists in a physical manner as well?
Well, the digital version is digital picture.
Okay, so the digital version is going to be the NFT, but it doesn't supersede all the actual magazines
No.
Wow.
No. It's a fascinating new world. But
how's that?
I just channeled Fred Willard. I don't know. I don't think so.
That's all I'd say about that, right?
Yeah. I can't do my work.
I got a real red wagon.
No, it's just, okay, I know people are doing that. Yeah. We're bored.
Together an NFT for the Mike O'Mara Show when it first broke. And I said, I was like, that might be fun. But then I also felt like we'd be ripping somebody off. I felt terrible.
Said the same thing about me and Cameo, though. You know, if you push me, I'll do it. I'll work like a whore. All right. If you want to put me out, you want to be my pimp, I'll do it. All right. And I'll give you a cut. There you go. I'll give you a cut.
An honorarium.
I can give him a cut.
An honorarium.
But I'll give you a cut. If you do the work,
I'll make it happen.
But I can't do my work. Right. And since it's Mother's Day, let's close with a salute to Mom.
I'm so mad at my mother.
Ribbit Mama!
Mother's little elf mother. You got to have a mother for me.
Mother. Mama.
Mama Mia. Mama
told me, let's go. Oh, this is yours, right?
Mama
Hello, mother.
Mama.
Tell mama.
I saw mommy. Mama, mama, mamacita.
Mama loves mambo.
Your mother should not.
Sylvia's mother and child.
Well, that's all right, mama.
Crazy little mama.
And that original montage is available as an NFT. Call me.
You know what? So we use prep services that collate a lot of this different information that we get on the show that we share with you. And they had one of those, and I was listening to it, and I said, man, Rob Spiewak poops all over.
So I listened to that this morning, and I immediately found about 15 edits they blew. Seriously, terrible. Yeah, it's horrible.
Terrible.
Not even trying.
More bang for your buck. Well, that's it. Is that it? Are we done?
Yeah, spin the wheel. Close it up.
Hold on. I got a spam call, and it just destroyed
my
computer.
Love you, Mom.
Oh, no.
That's
right.
Mom, up there, I hope everything's going well with you. I've got this thing. There we go.
Call your mothers, everybody. We're doing
that. Call your moms. Tell your moms you love them and all that and things. And I'll let you know on the things in Palm Springs and Humvee. I'll let you know how...
Thank you to John Wood.
Oh, God, he was great.
Oh, my God. Yeah, John Wood, who is on the Golf Channel and also NBC as an on-course commentator. Remember that name, John Wood. I wish him a 30-year career with NBC. That's fantastic.
I'm going to send you the contact information, Mike, so you can start stalking him.
Oh, man. Tell him to send me some stuff. Hey, John, you're listening right now. Send me some stuff.
Send Mike some stuff.
Send my son some stuff. I'm trying to get him into the game. I got everything I need, but I mean, send him some stuff. Like a signed hat. Anyway, no, I guess you can't do that if you're on here. Hey, could you sign this for my friend? That'd be a good way to lose
your gig. Well, don't ask VJ Singh.
I'm going to get out of here. What am I doing? We'll see. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long. Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
It ain't over until it's over.
All you people want is more, 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 more.
Oh, good for you.
What do I do?